Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another amazing episode of Take Two Podcast. Tonight we have a special edition show. With the release of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, we thought it'd be a great time to take a look at the MCU. That's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're going to take a look back at all 15 films that have coordinated together up to this point, starting in 2008. And we're going to take a look forward at all the 9+ films that they already have booked and scheduled, and the direction that they're going, our top favorite films, characters, least favorites, and much, much more. We have almost every single Take Two Podcast host on tonight. I, of course, am Brian. Gentlemen, introduce yourselves.
Hey, everybody. I'm Bo.
Hi, guys. It's Greg.
Good evening, guys. It's Roy.
All right, guys. Welcome. Welcome to our Marvel, the State of the Marvel Universe Special Edition show. Any quick hitter thoughts before we get started?
I'm a pro Marvel guy over DC. I'm going to say that right away.
Ooh.
Pro Marvel movies?
Yeah, I just like Marvel altogether. I'm not talking comics and characters necessarily, but I think Marvel overall has done a better job with their movies and TV than DC has. Blown them out of the water, in my opinion.
Agreed. I couldn't agree with you more. I think they are definitely hands down putting out better products with the latest editions coming out. I think they're showing DC up. Hopefully DC can change that with their films coming up later this year.
Yeah, I think the only thing DC seems to have going for it is their animated cartoons, like movies. Mm-hmm. That pretty much seems to be it. And those have all been pretty good. But aside from that, Marvel's beating them hands down and everything else.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're winning straight to DVD is what you're saying?
Exactly, yep. Mm-hmm. They're winning the video on demand section. Wow.
Well, to also that, let's use a couple of other facts. Let's check the box office for the 15 films that have been released. They've spent $2.83 billion making these 15 films. They have grossed $11.34 billion at the box office.
God.
So they've made some money back in return, to say the least. And that budget is not including this weekend's Guardians of the Galaxy, which just had about $1.45 domestically. That's just getting started. And then you have 9 more films coming out after that, 2 more this year, 3 the following, and so forth. So they're doing well financially. And I don't think it's a big secret that they've really struck gold here. They've struck gold with almost every character that they've put on the screen. They've even found a way to take characters that nobody really read their books when they were kids and turn them to household names. For me, the biggest example is Iron Man.
It's probably the biggest example.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anybody really, read any of those Iron Man comics. He was always, he was only a bit character in a lot of other comics. You know, he's always like, It was Spider-Man with Iron Man, Captain America with Iron Man. I don't think he really was that popular comic-wise.
Agreed, but Marvel has now turned him into probably one of, if not arguably, the most popular comic book character out there right now because of these films. So they know what they're doing as far as putting movies on the screen. Have they spread themselves too thin, maybe? Have they done too many characters? Or are they just getting started? I think that's what we should talk about this evening.
Sure.
Well, I think Marvel has maybe in the past realized that they gave away too many of their characters in the film industry. And now, since they have their own studio and they're in conjunction with Disney now, they're like, hey, if we've got the property and people want to go see it, why not? Let's put the film out there and see what happens. And some of these smaller comic book characters that they've been able to bring to the big screen and people love it, it's almost like they're creating their own little Star Wars type franchise where you put the film out and people are going to go see it.
Yeah, and they kind of invented this whole, let's bring everybody together idea, that now DC is trying to copy, but they did it first and they've so far arguably done it better also. My only concern is, are we getting too obscure of characters and eventually we're running out of characters, or we're going to have to reboot the existing characters like Iron Man or Captain America, and are they going to be as popular the second time around? Who knows?
Oh, that dirty R word.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they're already talking about that with the whole, a lot of these actors are getting in the end of their contracts that they have. Mm-hmm. And, coming out with these next Avengers and Infinity War movies, they're pretty much all done.
Yeah.
And whether they decide to continue or not is up to them. So, I think the Infinity Wars is going to be the beginning of a new Avengers team. I mean, you know, this is like basically the core team. There's been other teams since then, so they might try to focus on those.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to have to. Like, I mean, you can't have Chris Evans being Captain America, you know, for the next 20 years. Like, he's going to age out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, yeah, Robert Downey's already pretty much aged out of it.
Right, yeah.
Maybe I'm jumping ahead, and Brian, stop me if I am.
Stop.
What are the chances
of... Stop. Oh, stop. Stop.
I was just kidding. Go ahead, keep talking.
What are the chances of them following some of the, like, newer 52, where they create a female Thor, or they, create the Falcon becomes Captain America, or something like that?
They got a female Iron Man now, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they've kind of already talked about going that route with Captain America. At least I thought I'd read that.
Yeah,
Sebastian Stan possibly taking over.
Right, depending on how they do it. I mean, with the Infinity Stones, you know, that's got the power to basically reset all reality. So they could use that as sort of their bridge to just restart everything.
Their flashpoint, if you will.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, they also got other routes too. You know, they have the what was it called, the Young Avengers, when all their kids were together and Tony Stark was actually taking care of them,
protecting
them from Ultron.
Yeah, and Incredible Hulk was all old,
and but angry, real angry, and
real angry. Yeah,
still the only one that can kick Ultron's ass.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, but I mean, storylines like that are great for bringing in new characters, especially the kids of the, you know, the famous ones.
It's Tony Stank, actually. Tony Stank.
All right,
Tony
so
Stank, table four.
So Kevin Feige has been in charge of all of this. He's Marvel's golden boy. He's produced with Avi Arad every single film that they put out in this. They started off with phase one called Avengers Assembled. That led off with Iron Man, followed by Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, then Captain America, and then the Avengers. So from 08's Iron Man to 2012's Avengers, that was called Phase 1. I mean, talk about a launching pad. Some of those films were just insane. You know, Avengers is considered, folks will argue that's the best comic film. Folks will argue Iron Man's the best comic film. A few might argue for Captain America, the first one. I don't know too many, but I've heard that.
I've liked all three of Captain America movies. Mm-hmm. Those are good movies on their own. Not even the fact that they're connected with the Avengers. Just they were good, solid movies.
Agreed. He's probably had the best run of the three. You know, Iron Man's kind of tailed off as they went. I feel like Captain America's were all solid, and they were all their own unique movie.
Well, the thing about Captain America too is they started incorporating other characters into it. So I mean, Civil War, if you didn't know any better, you didn't even know it was a Captain America.
It's basically an Avengers.
Right. It didn't feel like one. Yeah, it felt like one Avengers, yeah.
And speaking of Avengers, I mean, how many fanboy moments were there in that film where you just, I mean, your mouth would drop open, you're like, oh my God. And then 20 minutes later, even bigger scene, and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, it was amazing after amazing after amazing.
Yeah, I mean, if you could take a movie like Avengers with all those people in it and somehow still make Hawkeye look cool.
Oh, my God.
Aliens, like, yeah. Right. Exactly.
So that brought...
I am a little worried, though, for, like, Avengers 3, because I feel like the second one wasn't as good. I liked Civil War, but I thought the second Avengers wasn't as good.
Yeah, and I think the problem with getting into this Avengers 3 and Infinity War and all that, it depends on how they do it based on the comic book, but I read the Infinity War and Infinity Gauntlet comic book, and I mean, it's everybody. Like, everybody that was ever in Marvel Comics is in this. Obviously, I don't see how they're going to have a lot of people in this movie they're talking about, but
everybody. That was the same with Civil War. Civil War had, I mean, it was the whole comic universe. I mean,
exactly.
I mean, everybody was against everybody. Captain America, you know, they did a pretty good job of showing, like, the main fights, but even the villains were, like, fighting each other. I mean, he's trying to go after each other. So, I mean, it was huge.
Yeah, and they did a good job.
Power of the Duck show up?
I don't know. I'm assuming I think he shows up in the Infinity Gauntlet, if I remember right.
Nice.
It doesn't do much. But yeah, I mean, the Civil War comic book, they altered for the movie because they didn't think they were going to get Spider-Man. And Spider-Man is a huge part of the Civil War comic book. You know, it's a whole thing because it's a big deal when he reveals that he's Peter Parker.
What?
In the comic book, right. they didn't think they were going to get him. I know.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Iron Man, Tony Stark was starting this whole thing. It was actually his idea in the comic to push for this bill that would regulate all the superheroes, and he kind of conned Spider-Man into being the first one, and it pretty much ruined his life. According to the comics. So, I mean, you know, in the comics, right, everybody right. knew who he was and all the villains were coming after him. And actually, there's a lot of good stuff that came out of that for Spider-Man. I mean, he really turned out to be, like, if you really pissed him off, he went after Kingpin for something and he just destroyed him. It wasn't even like a fair fight. I mean, it's like, you know, how he kind of holds back a little bit. Kingpin looks like he's he just destroyed Kingpin in prison. And, It was kind of cool to see Spider-Man, you know, hiding from everybody, but then going after somebody when he had to.
All right, so then in 2013, they introduced Phase 2 of the films. And this then brought up Iron Man 3, then Thor Part 2, Captain America Winter Soldier. Then it really branched out with Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers Age of Ultron, and then Ant-Man rounded things out in 2015. So in a two-year span there, they knocked out 6 films. America Winter Soldier was a really good film. Guardians of the Galaxy was them showing that they could branch out to some really unknown characters for your everyday fan. And then they then threw a really lesser known one in Ant-Man and went a very comedic route. And they were able to almost seamlessly introduce all of these films into Phase 2.
Yeah, I think if it wasn't for Ant-Man and Guardians, that would be a pretty weak phase because Iron Man 3 was the worst of the Iron Mans. Thor 2 is garbage, and Avengers 2 was weak compared to the first one. So
very true.
Without those two movies, I think those are kind of your standouts.
Right, and the fact that they ended on those. Yeah.
Then after that, then they got a little stronger. They started Phase 3. Maybe they wrapped it up on purpose. And then they moved on to Phase 3, Captain America Civil War, Doctor Strange, and then Guardians of the Galaxy, which just came out. Captain America Civil War, you'll find many, many a fanboy that'll argue that's the best comic film of all time. Hard to argue against it because it really was good. And, I mean, big moments, I know for Bo yourself, this is big moments when they start introducing other characters. Like you guys just said, Spider-Man gets in there. They throw Black Panther in here. They throw in a bunch of new characters that really now we're going to start going in different directions that are all incorporated into the MCU.
Yeah, that was really cool. When they finally were able to bring Spider-Man into the fold with the movies, that totally broke open Spider-Man to me. I mean, because him being with a different production company, the movies were good, but unless anybody else in the Marvel world could be with him, it's just his characters, his enemies are good for comics, not so good for movies, you know, kind of weak as far as seeing him on the big screen. But to see him team up with all the characters in Marvel, and I hope they do the same thing with Fantastic Four.
Marvel's just fortunate enough that Sony wasn't able to get their reboot off the ground and really get it going, so that they were basically, hey, we need to get this character moving somehow, and they were able to work out a deal with him to help them out. So, which is fortunate enough for us that we get to see a true Spider-Man, and then see him in Avengers for finally.
And I like how they're doing the team ups. I mean, because in comics it was always a team up. You know, it was like I said earlier, it was like Spider-Man with Iron Man. You know, and Iron Man's going to be in the Spider-Man movie. So it's kind of cool. It'd be kind of cool to branch off and see a couple of team ups here and there. You know, like Hulk and Thor doing something together, or Iron Man and Captain America going off and doing. Those kind of movies, just where it's like two guys doing certain things, not necessarily the whole team.
Yeah, and I think that they're starting to realize that. I mean, with this Thor Ragnarok coming out, you got that and the Planet Hulk angle going on. And, I mean, I think they're realizing that if they want to branch out from, like, the larger overall story that they have going, these sort of almost, buddy cop movies are the way to go.
Yep.
And haven't they even introduced the other aspect, the almost the cosmic, now that they've introduced Doctor Strange, and now you've opened up that whole aspect of the Marvel Universe as well. So, I mean, you can even branch out into all of that and still try to incorporate it back into the Avengers part.
Exactly. Yeah.
And see, that's the thing. Doctor Strange, I wasn't a huge fan of that. I wasn't big into the whole mystical magic part of the Marvel, but the movie actually made it cool. You know, it was kind of cool to see it on the big screen. So it'd be kind of interesting to see how he does in the upcoming Avengers.
Yeah, seeing his sort of team up with what looks like probably going to be Thor Ragnarok and stuff like that, team up with other heroes to see how he kind of mixes with them, I think it's going to be interesting.
Yep, very interesting.
All right, so I'm not sure, or we aren't sure when Phase 3 is going to wrap up, but there's 9 films they already have slated. Spider-Man Homecoming comes out this year, so does Thor Ragnarok later this year. Next year, I know I'm pumped for Black Panther's coming out, and then the Infinity War, and then Ant-Man Part 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp. 29.
Is Ant-Man and Wasp coming out before Infinity Wars?
I have them listed after, but I don't have dates, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I have to look that up. I'm not sure. I think they said it was going to come out first.
Oh, okay.
And then that way they'd be introduced into the that way they can be in the Avengers.
That makes sense.
But not positive.
Then 2019 shows Captain Marvel, which Brie Larson just started filming, and then an untitled Avengers film, followed up by the second Spider-Man Homecoming, and then Guardians of the Galaxy 3 has been announced, but they're not exactly sure just when. And then that wraps up what they have officially slated so far.
Would that be Spider-Man Prom?
Yeah.
Spider-Man Spring Fling.
Sadie Hawkins. Spider-Man, will anybody ask Peter?
Right. That's when Mary Jane asks him out to come save her.
I think out of all those movies, the most I'm looking forward to is Black Panther. Like you said, Brian, I think that's going to be a big one for them. Big kind of gamble, but I think it will pay off.
Oh, I think so. I mean, if it's anything like they had Black Panther in the Civil War movie, I think they did him really well.
Yes.
And the cast that it sounds like they have going for it, like, I think it's going to end up being a pretty strong movie.
Yeah, I was just going to say the cast already is insane. That doesn't ever prove anything. But, you know, the only role the dice will get is he was a phenomenal secondary character in Civil War. Now that he's the lead, will it hold? I hope so, because I thought he was pretty kick-ass in Civil War.
We haven't got any confirmation on Captain Marvel being in Avengers yet, have we? Like, even just a cameo or...
Maybe it can't. I mean, she's not till 2019, and right, Infinity War is 18, so she'd have to be the next one, unless it's a cameo, like you say.
Yeah. I just wonder because they're already filming it.
Right, because they showed a teaser at the whatever, you know, the last when they released the rock, whatever it was, where they released the Ragnarok trailer and stuff. They showed a quick teaser of her putting on the costume and.
I think it's the seventh post-credit scene for Ragnarok.
Right,
they're now going to have an entire movie of just post-credit scenes. You get an hour after as well.
Well,
it's a pre-credit scene for the next showing of the movie.
Oh, there you go.
If you put all the post scenes together in order, it makes one whole movie.
And you got to play Pink Floyd.
Right.
Play Dark Side of the Moon at the same time.
Yeah.
It runs right in together.
Or that Led Zeppelin movie that's in all the movies.
Those are all DC movies. I think that should lead us to what I think are two huge turning points in filmmaking, and I think Marvel deserves almost all of the credit here. Two things that they have struck gold on. A is incorporating characters in every film. I mean, we just said Brie Larson isn't filming until 2019. We don't know. She could have filmed 6 scenes already, and she'll be in Black Panther, which is next year. You know what I mean? Like, that's what Marvel has done really well, is incorporating these characters together. And number two is the post-credit scene. They really hit home with this post-credit scene and really revolutionized storytelling by adding on these extra little marketing ploys to help promo themselves going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the original Iron Man, the Nick Fury post-credit scene, and, like, my mind being blown that, like, it's almost like a to be continued at the end of a movie.
Right.
Without them actually saying
that. That was actually the first time we saw Nick Fury.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and the fact that they actually kept that, from what I can remember, they kept it secret. That you didn't know Sam Jackson was in it. You didn't know he was being Nick Fury. You didn't know this was happening. Like... I mean, that was a huge, I think, like you said, like marketing, ploy that they've done that everybody does now. I mean, every movie ever, I wait for a post-credit scene now, like anything, just to see.
And especially with Marvel, because you know, after that first time, you're like, oh, I wonder what else we're going to see. And then now every Marvel movie, you're like, okay, where are they going to send us now? What are they setting up next time? You know, what are we going to see a glimpse of?
Right.
And I think it adds to the movie experience that they genuinely put on and have total credit for.
Yeah, and then the fact that when it got to Avengers, they made fun of themselves by having them all sitting in the diner eating like gyros and falafel.
Yeah.
For their post-credit scene, like, that was hilarious. Like, they realized what they had, the, you know, the monster they had sort of created and made fun of it themselves before somebody else could.
Right.
Which one had Thor's hammer? Was it Hulk or Iron Man 2?
I think it was Iron Man 2.
I think it was Iron Man
Hulk
2.
Hulk had Iron Man there.
Yeah, right. That's when he went and talked to
General, Ed Norton, right?
No, he went to talk to the General. I mean, okay. What's his name? Yeah. Betty's dad.
Ross.
Right.
Ross.
Yeah.
Right. Ross, General, yeah. Ross. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's
so it must have been Iron Man 2. I just remember I never read a Thor comic to this day. I still haven't and you know, never cared to growing up. But I remember that post credit scene. I was like, holy shit, it's Thor's right. hammer. This is nuts, you know.
But also, that's the first time we saw Thanos was right after the first Avengers, correct?
Yes. With him just flexing the glove? Yeah.
I feel like they've been teasing him for a while.
Yeah, he's been in the background for a while.
Yeah. Which I think is good. I mean, you know, they started building up to a movie, 4 years before it comes out?
Mm-hmm.
5 years? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's been a huge plan. I mean, it's been a...
Mm. And I think the fact that they have Kevin Feige, how do you say his name?
I thought it was Feige.
Feige?
Faja. Yo, Faja.
They have Kevin Feige. In ahead of everything and sort of this large overseer of the whole universe makes it so he can have all these connections, you know, long term down the road, that if you had one off people doing everything, you wouldn't be able to do this kind of stuff.
Well, then you imagine that whiteboard that says MCU and then all the films that are named and like arrows pointing to this one and that one and circles here and circles there.
A huge hierarchy chart, just like it starts here and then branches off this way, and just it's got to be huge.
Little whistle arrows like Yondu has in Guardians.
Oh, yeah.
What if Matt Damon walks by and then he solves it all?
Matt Damon,
as he's like mopping the floor. No, I was gonna say a little bit of a spoiler here. If you haven't seen the new Guardians, don't listen. But the way they did Stan Lee's cameos in Guardian and how they explained it all, I thought that was genius. I mean, they're doing it retroactively. They probably didn't plan on that all along, but it makes sense the way that they did it. So.
That's right, true. Exactly.
But then again, who knows? Maybe they did plan it that whole time. I don't know. I heard they got the idea from like a fan idea, like a fan kind of threw it out there.
It's probably a fan theory, yeah. I could see that.
But that's even more awesome that they took that theory and they're like, you know what? Yeah, that works. Let's do it. Yeah. And they went ahead and filmed it. And the fact that they were able to take these movies – and also incorporate the S.H.I.E.L.D. characters and then turn it into a somewhat successful TV series as well. And then they can incorporate things that happen into the film directly into their TV show and how it does. And then I think they're even going to do full circle and they're going to launch another TV show from this one when the humans come out later.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So well, they've even had minor crossovers on the TV show, too, because they had Lady Sif from Thor on S.H.I.E.L.D. I think that may be the only character from the movies that's come on the show.
No, I think didn't Nick Fury make a cameo on there, too.
Nick Fury made an appearance in the first season.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it was a one episode. Yeah, I wouldn't say it was
the first
finale.
Was it the first season?
Well, they've laid out the seasons where they coordinate with what's going on in the movie. Like, last season dealt a lot with what was going on in Civil War or whatever. And they do reference those. And they try and plan that out with when the show is being released to go along with what's releasing on their theatrical calendar. So.
Right. They did that, they did that with which movie was it? The second? Age of Ultron. That was one of them. And then
they did it with the second Thor,
Yeah,
they're still dealing with the Age of Ultron when they're dealing with AI now on the season and everything that comes with that.
For the TV show, who watches S.H.I.E.L.D.? Tony? Craig?
Yep. I do.
I watched like the first two seasons. I haven't watched since.
It did fall off, I feel, at some point. Like, it kind of slowed down.
I think this season is great.
I mean, this season did three seasons in 1 year, because they had an entire Ghost Rider section at the beginning. Then they did the whole AI stuff, and now they're dealing with the whole Hydra angle.
Yep. Well, that's ABC tends to do that, where they have basically their fall season is almost like a mini season in itself, and then they go to a completely different thing in the spring season and deal with that. So you kind of get like the double seasons in ones. I don't know if it's to help with production value so that they don't have to spend as much time on a season-long story. But other shows like Once Upon a Time does the same thing. They'll have that.
Right, right.
Well, I think it's smart just because you don't get a tired story that you're dragging out for 22 episodes. Flash. Where, you know, we're saying, oh, we got to get to Savitar for all season long, and it's 22 episodes. You know, like Craig was saying, they've already had three distinct storylines, and they've all played out great. And this season, to me, is probably the best one they've had.
Yeah. I think I posted on TakeTwoPodcast.com that they're going to start crossing over the TV shows with the movies, too.
Yeah, I mean, they've always had Coulson, you know, being sort of the go-between between them.
Right, but I'm talking about, like, the Daredevil and
The Netflix ones.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess Netflix and the other ones that are all spread out. But, yeah, I think mainly because of the Defenders, you know, they're going to have them coming out pretty soon, so they're going to try to do some crossover there, which, again, I think is pretty cool. I always love when they cross over everything.
I could definitely see those characters, maybe except for Iron Fist. Iron Fist, I don't know if he would stand up with all those other characters, but I think Daredevil...
Maybe he was a better character. I mean, a better actor, maybe? I don't know.
You could definitely see Luke Cage.
And that's another thing Marvel's doing, is they're putting content on any episode, on any network that'll take it. You guys want to show about Legion? Here you go. You guys want to do a show about Inhumans? Here you go. Here, you want another superhero show? Here, you take it. They're just putting it on anybody that wants to produce it, and people are watching.
All right.
I mean, the fact that, I mean, aside from, I think we all agree, Iron Fist, I mean, I thought all of their Netflix shows have been decent. They've been, you know, you watch them all pretty binge-worthy, like, and then makes you excited for Defenders to come out, to see all of them together. Before the Defenders series comes out, we're going to do a whole Take Two episode where we'll recap all of the Netflix shows, what we thought about them, what we liked, what we didn't like, you know, where they think they're going to go with Defenders once it comes out.
Yeah, the one thing I don't like about what they've done with the Marvel thing, or they haven't done it yet, but I read that they're going to do it, is not have Claire in the Punisher series at all.
What?
Which, she's been like the glue for all those seasons, so I feel like even just a little cameo bit would be worth it.
That's weird, because she did work on Punisher, didn't she? Did she help him out?
They said she's not going to be in the Punisher series. So,
but she is in the Defenders.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I saw her.
Now, do we know is the Punisher series taking place in New York?
Oh, I hope so. Unless they're doing that god awful John Travolta crap again, where it's like in Miami or whatever. Wasn't that where it was?
Which one was in L.A.? Was that L.A. or maybe it was Miami?
I think it was Miami, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
That's the only reason I ask, because if it's not in New York, then that would make sense why she's not in it. But if it is in New York, then it wouldn't make any sense.
Stop being smart, Roy.
Sorry.
We don't want stuff that makes sense.
You and your stupid reasoning.
All right, let's get off some quick hitter stuff here, boys. Favorite film so far out of the MCU?
For me, it's Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one.
First one? Okay.
Without a doubt. I mean, the fact that they took a movie that I never read the comic book, I saw it had a talking raccoon and a talking tree in it.
Trash panda.
And somehow made it amazing.
Yeah.
And I'd have to say that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Good choice.
You're right. That's pretty amazing. I really like Civil War just because of the way that I felt like they did a good job with all the characters. And that's amazing in and of itself to me, to have all those characters in it. And they're all balanced so well with the storyline. I really enjoyed the hell out of that movie, so...
Yeah, it's Civil War is almost there. I since you said it, I'll say a different one. But to have Avengers, put them all together, and then do it again with Civil War and do it better, I thought was amazing. But for me, I'll take Iron Man. It started it all. Same reasoning for you. I'm actually taking both your answers. Same reasoning, Craig. I never read a single Iron Man book. I didn't know anyone that did. But that movie right there kicked all of it off for everyone.
Right.
Yeah, and it was done well too. I mean, it was really good.
Yeah.
They couldn't have gotten a better person besides Robert Downey Jr. to do that.
I mean, did you ever see the other actors they were thinking about getting? There, Tom Cruise was a choice at one point. There was a couple other ones too, but Tom,
Marvel even took a risk on him because he was coming off of all his controversial with his drug history and everything, and they were kind of taking a flyer that he was going to turn this whole thing around and put them on the map. And luckily for them, he did, and did he ever in a huge way.
He bounced back, that's for sure. I know Jon Favreau said that he had to really take a chance on him, and not only that, they almost didn't find anybody to insure, you know, because they have to insure the actors and everything, and they almost didn't find anybody to put insurance on him. I think they had to pay a little more to put insurance on him because of his issues, but worked out.
Yeah, I mean, it revitalized his career. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And then Sherlock Holmes. My film is Avengers. That's mine. Seeing all of them together for the first time, the big team up, the as I said before, all the big fanboy moments. That was it for me.
Yeah, I like Avengers. Avengers is up there with me. But I'd have to say maybe Winter Soldier. I thought it was good to have somebody that was pretty much Captain America's equal.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a run for his money. Plus, it was a good storyline. Kind of, a little bit of a, spy. It was his own good movie. I mean, being infiltrated by another spy agency was really good. Done really well. So I have to say that's probably my favorite.
Nick just texted in his is Deadpool.
Obviously, yeah. I knew it would be. It's his favorite and least favorite.
All right.
I'm shocked that no one said Thor the Dark World. I mean, the amazing work that was done on that. Natalie Portman should have gotten an Oscar for her performance.
All right, so go with that. Least favorites.
That would probably be my least favorite. I think this is like Jar Jar Binks. It's Thor 2.
Across the board?
Yeah. No, I think I'd go Iron Man 3.
Oh, you took mine. Yeah, same. Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3 was atrocious.
What they did with the Mandarin.
And then you end it with Pepper Potts in an Iron Man suit? I mean, come on.
Yeah. None of that. She had that weird power where she like glowed, and I don't know. It was just kind of weird.
I don't understand any of it.
And then they did the whole surgery at the end where they took his thing out. I mean, it's like, that's the whole idea of him in the suit.
Right.
Like a surgery where he took his thing out.
Took his thing out.
Is this a bat mitzvah? What are we doing?
You know, the flux capacitor in his chest.
The flux capacitor. All right. Tony, we've got to do something about your kids. I believe.
What, they turn into assholes?
I believe the arc generator. Is that what you're talking about?
Pretty
sure it's flux capacitor.
From now on, it's the flux capacitor, okay?
Nerd alert.
We need some Take-Two fan to Photoshop Iron Man with the flux capacitor in his chest instead of the arc reactor.
Well, I mean, the one when he made with the triangle kind of has the look of it, had the
triangle,
like the flux
capacitor. Oh, yeah, it's really close, not even identical.
That Take-Two fan that's listening and wants to design that artwork, please send that to take2podcast@gmail.com or send it to us on Facebook or Twitter @take2podcast. We will love your free artwork. Thank you for that. All right, moving along. Favorite character out of all of them?
I'm going to go with Hulk.
There you go. Good choice,
And I'm not going to say Spider-Man because, Spider-Man hadn't really been a part of this huge universe. I'm assuming we're just talking about the main universe with the Avengers and all the ones by Marvel. Spider-Man.
Which Hulk are you going with? Which Hulk?
I'm gonna go with the Avengers Hulk. Ruffalo.
With Ruffalo.
The part where he, when he says he's got a secret and then he just starts wandering towards the ship and he said his secret is that he's always angry and just instantly turns into the Hulk. Yeah. Hulk. That's awesome.
Yeah. I think it's the best line of all the films.
Captain America tells him definitely. Smash. Captain says Hulk smash, and he's like, oh yeah, and he just takes off and
destroys. I mean, I actually enjoyed even the Ed Norton one, and in this Mark Ruffalo one. Like, I liked the fact that they didn't try the origin story.
Right.
Like, with Ed Norton, he just was the Hulk. He was down in Guadalajara.
There's a scene, and they kind of put them together, because remember in the Avengers when he's talking about he tried to kill himself and he tried to put a bullet in his mouth?
There's
a scene And I don't know if it was where it came from. I'm assuming it's maybe on the DVD or something. But Ed Norton actually does a scene where he goes like high up in a mountain somewhere, and he tries to shoot himself in the face with a bullet.
And yeah, because in the background you see Captain America frozen.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right.
In the director's cut of the Incredible Hulk. Yeah.
The only thing that I don't like what they've done with Ruffalo's Hulk is they kind of turn him into like almost like an ape. Like he kind of like lumbers, and he like his hands are on the ground. He kind of lumbers like a gorilla.
You wouldn't say that, like Norton. You wouldn't say that to his face.
I would. I totally tell him. I don't care. He can kick me in the chest all he wants. I can't say I'll come back like other people do, but.
And Hulk fighting Loki in the Avengers.
Oh my god!
He just starts flopping him around and says, "You god." Yeah.
And he punches him, and just like sucker punched him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, we kicked their ass. Boom, knocked him out. It was great. But I'd say Hulk. Hulk's my favorite.
I'd go Iron Man just because I think Robert Downey has had the best performance out of all those guys, and really epitomizes that character more than anybody. You wouldn't be able to recast him. And I made it a character nobody cared about, important, really started the whole thing off. I just think Iron Man is the best character overall.
I'll take Captain America, just because I like Captain America. Anyone that can go from Johnny Storm to Captain America is impressive. honorable mention for me, Black Panther. I'm anxious for his film. And Peter Quill, a little bit. I like his character. And we're not including any X-Men, right?
Nah.
Because they're not in the MCU.
I guess you'd have to, just for the MCU.
They're not in the MCU.
We're not just doing overall Marvel.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think we're just sticking with the ones that are done by Marvel
Studios. Yeah.
Okay. All right, that takes out Anna Paquin's Rogue for me. All right, I'll stick with Captain America.
How do you feel about her not coming back for the next one?
Oh, darn. What direction are they going? Because they changed her character for those films anyway. You know, they made her younger.
Been in the last two, so I mean, what is it really?
Well, she was in that one. Days of
Well, they're going to come out with the Dark Phoenix.
Wasn't she in like a director's cut?
No, she was in it. She was with Wolverine or whatever, right?
Which one?
In Days of Future Past.
No, actually, Rogue was Rogue. They cut her scene out. They did record with Rogue.
There's a director's cut.
Yeah,
where you see Rogue, but in the theatrical release, she's not in it.
Huh. I think, doesn't Rogue like replace her or take her powers because she got stabbed or something and she was like losing blood, so she took her power to be able to control Wolverine in the past. But they cut that scene out.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did it. It was pretty good. They should have kept it in there, but that was the only scene she was in.
All right, I feel bad for bringing up X-Men. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we could talk X-Men too.
Everybody, favorite character, we good?
Yeah, you mentioned mine as an honorable mention. Peter Quill was mine.
Okay.
You guys have dad issues.
I like Groot.
Least favorite?
I'd still have to go Thor again. I like Thor as a character, but I feel like his movies are my least favorite.
Yeah.
But like, he's okay, just added character into the group, you know?
Yeah.
I know what Craig's is.
Mine's Black Widow, because she's pointless.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Hawkeye.
I was going to lean towards Hawkeye, but I feel Black Widow is even less useful.
See, I think it would be cool. I actually wouldn't mind seeing a Black Widow movie. I'd rather see a Black Widow movie than a Thor movie.
Oh, stand by.
Yeah, now, would you rather see a Black Widow movie because you just want to see her in tights again?
Or you just want to see Scarlett Johansson in a tight
top? Duh.
I didn't say why I wanted to see one, but I do want to see one.
I just want to see Jeremy Renner without a shirt on for a Hawkeye movie. I mean,
okay.
Well, the cat's out of the bag.
I feel like Black Widow has done. She's been in the movies, but I feel like I almost feel like they force her to progress the story forward when they don't need to use her. But you know, that's my own hang up of them pushing women superheroes upon us. But that's a whole nother.
Do we really call her a
Craig, how do you really feel about female leads?
Ladies, that's
female leads. Just when they force me on us.
As a superhero. I mean, she's a good fighter and everything like that, but she's also good at infiltrating and espionage and all that stuff, you know. So, I mean, I think she's more useful than in Hawkeye.
I didn't really care
but for Hawkeye her does in... own a farm that they went to in the second Avengers movie.
It is true.
I didn't care for her in Iron Man 2, but I feel like in the Avengers and stuff, she's played a good role.
So. I thought she was good in Iron Man 2. I mean, that was when they first introduced her, correct?
Yeah, but I just felt like it was kind of unnecessary to even include.
It's kind of an introduction, but I thought it was cool. I liked the fight scene at the end when she was kicked everybody's ass, and the guy I kicked one guy. He's like, "All right, who's next?" And everybody else.
My least favorite is Vision.
That's a good one.
I don't think he does anything for the storyline, but.
Well, I'm assuming he's going to die in Infinity War because they need the stone out of his forehead. So you got that going for you.
Oh, good. I'm getting my wish.
Well, but I don't see how they can Black Widow. There's a Scarlet Witch in him. They're trying to make them a couple, whatever.
Yeah, because they are in the comic books. They're like a huge thing in the comic books.
But who cares about that?
She could do better.
Did they say they were going to bring back Quicksilver?
Yeah. Pretty sure he died.
He's dead, so unless they're going to reincarnate him.
Or they use the flux capacitor in Stark's chest.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
See, Roy? Oh, you know what you're talking about all the time.
They could. I mean, depending on how...
Great
how
Scott! They go.
You know, with this Thor Ragnarok trailer, he's fighting Hela, who is, you know, the leader of the underworld. They can use that somehow to bring him back, I'm sure, if they really wanted to.
If they wanted to.
Dad, if they bring Gray's Sports Almanac with
it. Then they can be millionaires.
The whole thing.
Right, exactly. Own Hawkeye's casino in the future.
I mean, we do have Biff as our president right now, so.
Moving on.
Make like a tree. Get out of here.
If Thor Ragnarok has anything to do with Back to the Future, Tony will be in heaven. It'll be his new favorite movie.
Oh, yeah. That'll be the Par 4 I've been waiting for. Did you watch the Par 4 trailer?
That looks amazing.
It does.
Tony wishes you could replace Part 3 with that.
Sorry, tangent.
All right, so we kind of just touched on it right there. What characters, if any, deserve their own film?
That don't already have it?
Yeah. See, like, I actually wouldn't mind a Hawkeye Black Widow film. I know that's two characters, but...
I think those two could be one movie. I mean, you know, maybe not one or the other, but both together, because, you know, in the comics, you know, they like, have been together forever.
What about a Rocket and Groot movie?
Yeah, there we go. Bring them to Earth.
Yes.
Bring them to Earth. I'm doing it like a Lethal Weapon buddy cop thing.
Yeah.
They're searching for another Walkman for Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have unlimited time to find one? Because I don't know if there's any left.
Unlimited downloads for the Zune.
Yeah. Nice product placement there. Hey, look at the Zune that nobody uses on Earth.
Any others? Are we good?
I think if they did anything, I'd like a... it'd be a little harder to do, but if they did an Odin movie with Anthony Hopkins...
I'd actually see a Loki movie. That would be good.
Or even a Loki. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking both of them. I think either of those movies would be good.
Loki feels the same way. He's been in almost all of them.
All the movies, so he's always been like a big character in the movies. I still would like to see, and I know Hulk's had his own movies, but I'd like to see a movie with this Hulk.
No. They're going to fuck it up.
How's that?
Because they've already done it twice wrong.
Oh, it's not the same.
Just go with what you have.
Still want to see a full plan.
Don't be greedy.
I'm not being greedy, and I understand, but I would love to see Planet Hulk and then going into World War Hulk, where Hulk comes back and just kicks all the heroes' ass. It'd be like a civil war, all of them against the Hulk.
I'll tell you what I wouldn't mind them doing is going the Marvel Zombies. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about that, too, a while back.
I mean, you wouldn't be able to tie it into like the existing storylines at all. It would just have to be a one-off, but I think it would be fun.
I think Bo's penis just moved.
Yeah.
All right, so fun category. Let's do an actor swap here. What actor do you think would be fun if they played a different role? As perfectly cast as Downey Jr. is, could you see anyone else playing Iron Man? Could you see any of the others playing Hawkeye or what have you?
The Hulk playing Captain America.
No, what actor would play...
Actor. Okay. Hulk's an actor, correct? No.
Wow.
So you want Mark Ruffalo to play Captain America? Is that what you're saying?
No, I was just being funny with the Hulk. But
oh. Okay.
Apparently it didn't go well.
So Hulk is now Darth Vader.
I could have seen Pratt and Downey switching. They're both kind of like smarmy characters.
Yeah.
you could see Pratt being like a younger Iron Man.
That's true.
And I think Downey could sell the Peter Quill character too. So
I want to see Sam Jackson as Captain America. Get these motherfucking Hydra off my motherfucking plane.
I think it'd be interesting just because I like Chris Pratt. I would like to see him maybe as like a bigger role in some of the other ones, an Iron Man or something like that. That'd be the only one just because. But I don't know. I don't see Robert Downey Jr. I don't think he can be anything else besides Tony Stark now.
Valid.
Like, I mean, just trying to even imagine him. Even out, once he's done with these Marvel movies, I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, because he doesn't have anything else like Sherlock Holmes or anything to
OD again.
All right, we mentioned X-Men earlier. Do you guys see them involving them in any of this, trying to intertwine them in any way? Or should they just leave that alone?
I think it would be cool if they did it just for the sake of Wolverine.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't care.
Right. And even then, unless they can do it soon, you're going to lose the Wolverine because he's aging and he's just not going to fit into the scenario that they've got going on. And exactly. Unless Fox is going to give up their money-generating franchise, it's just not going to happen. They would have to flop on this new Dark Phoenix series that they're trying to get going. And if that flops, then maybe they can work out something like they did with Sony, where, hey, let us help you get another franchise off the ground if you let us make it. And then now we get to use them in some of our films.
I mean, Apocalypse has got awful, so who knows? They might flop with Dark Phoenix.
True.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. I mean, Dark Phoenix is a hard story to bring. You know, because they even ended, what was it, X-Men 2 or 3? They ended it with a Dark Phoenix thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And never moved on from it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not another one that's easy for, you know, mainstream. I mean, there's a lot that goes into bringing that saga to the big screen to even do backstory explaining. I mean, you're just going to show this character and all of a sudden she's going to be dark and you're like, where's all this coming from?
Right, so, exactly. But, you know, they also brought a comic book about a talking raccoon and a walking tree.
Trash panda.
And made like $1 billion, so.
That's true. I think Marvel could do it. I'm just not sure if Fox can do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Valid.
All right, going forward, is there anything you want to see happen or you'd be okay seeing happen? Even something kind of off the wall that could happen with these films and these franchises?
I'd like to see them introduce somebody like She-Hulk into the mix.
You are all over the Hulk this evening.
I do. I'm telling you, man.
It's his Vader for this episode.
If it's not Spider-Man, it's got to be Hulk.
All right,
but I would like to see She-Hulk because she plays a big role in a lot of the stuff too. You know,
he wants to see Iron Spider, Spider Hulk,
Spider Hulk, She Avenger.
Like I said, I think it would be cool to do the zombies angle, but I doubt they'll do it. Or if they do, it'll be animated or whatever.
I mean, it'll be interesting because once they're talking about the only gem we haven't seen is the Soul Gem, which they're talking about that's going to be seen in Thor Ragnarok. And, I mean, that has the power to bring the dead back to life. So they could do a whole zombie thing if they wanted to.
Maybe.
That'd be awesome.
If Chris Evans is done, which is the heavy rumor, I'd like to see Sharon Carter kill him, as she did in the comics. I think I'd like to see, you know, Captain America killed off and then maybe Bucky take over. I think that'd be people would lose their whatever's on that if you kill off a character.
I think that's the big test going forward is just what they're going to do when they have to recycle these characters and what they do with them. That's where I'm most interested to see what they do. Like, do you just leave Iron Man alone or do you try and recast it?
Oh. Well, I mean, like in the comics, they did a whole thing like they did with Batman. You know, they had Tony Stark plays in the background and he has a female now.
It's a student from MIT.
Yeah, so, I mean, they can still use Tony Stark, just not as, you know, as the man in the suit, but more the man behind the suit, you know, the brains, I guess. Kind of like Hank Pym with Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, are there any other, like, major characters that haven't...
I mean, I can't think of anybody that they still own, you know, that hasn't been bought by Fox or Sony or... You know, I mean, the biggest one, I think, would be, like Bo mentioned earlier, Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Or what about like Nova? Haven't they talked about that one a little bit, but haven't done it?
Yeah, they've talked some about that, and you know how they're going to incorporate him. And it's rough. I mean, there's so many characters out there, and if you said mainstream, you know, 10 years ago, you know, that's a totally different conversation than it is now. Because like we said, I mean, they started off with Iron Man that nobody read and very few people knew about. Like, so they can do anybody.
And yeah. These variations on the characters, like your Miles Morales, you know, mm-hmm. version of Spider-Man, whatever. People want to see that, even though it's the same character.
Yeah, they're doing animated with that one, aren't they? Next year? Is it next year or 2019?
Yeah, I think it's 2019. They're doing an animated Miles Morales one. Yeah.
Another one, you know, I mean, Silver Surfer. Mm-hmm. I could totally see a Silver Surfer movie. Just, you know, a cosmic thing, you know, and actually do it right.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they did him well in the second Fantastic Four. The rest of the movie was garbage, but I think he was done pretty well.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Yeah, they did a great job with him.
What about, like, their version of Aquaman, the Submariner?
That's a good question.
It depends on how deep they want to go, because when you start to get into Infinity War and Infinity Gauntlet, I mean, they got their whole, I don't know what they're called. Basically, they have, like, their... Illuminati, which is like Doctor Strange and Mr. Fantastic and Submariner and Black Bolt from Inhumans, like where they basically make the decisions for all the Marvel mutants.
Right.
Yeah, it seems Marvel, if they're not willing to start putting them into the film, that they're willing to push them out into TV. Like, aren't they doing Cloak and Dagger now? That's another one that's coming up.
Yeah, Runaways for Hulu.
Yep, the Runaways for Hulu. So they're even willing to put them out in at least a small screen to kind of see, you know, test the waters even more. How well can we make these? I mean, if we can make these obscure characters somewhat popular, just imagine what else they can do for characters that people have maybe even glanced at a couple of times in the comics.
Yep. Yeah, and I think if they do end up doing a crossover of Defenders into the movies... I mean, then the door's wide open and anything they could do. They could start anything on a small screen and end up leading to a full, you know, big budget movie.
I'd love to see Daredevil in the movies.
Well, then I guess you didn't like the leather last time? All the leather?
Everybody? I still thought that movie was kind of bad. I liked it, but it just made him seem too powerful. Like he was jumping from building to building. I'm like, come on. He doesn't have any superpowers.
And that brings up another question. Would you still go see it if they changed the actor from this storyline? They're still bringing in Daredevil, but they changed the actor from the Netflix series to something else, i.e. like they were, like they're doing with Flash and DCU.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like this character they have on the TV show. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how the Flash is, how he does. Because they're making his own movie too, right?
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how that...
Eventually.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into the DC stuff in about a month. We're going to do the same thing here, boys. I don't know if you knew that, but after right Wonder around Woman the time comes out, we're going to hash out the DCU and talk about that and do the same thing. So.
Yep, that'll be out in June, our Defenders episode, Back to Marvel. That'll be out closer to August, just before that actually gets released onto Netflix. We'll do a whole special edition review and then going forward for that. And then as these films all come out, you know, look for all of us to break down each and every one of these films. Every single one of us saw Guardians over the weekend or today. And so we'll be breaking that down on our weekly shows. And we got a whole bunch coming out. So look for a lot of content at Take Two Podcast on Twitter, take2podcast.com for all of our articles that we write almost every single day. And we're on the Facebook and take2podcast@gmail.com. Thank you, everybody, for joining our State of the Marvel show. We'll do this again probably annually because it's always changing, and it will be interesting to see what changes from this year to next year. So stay tuned. I'm Brian, Roy, Craig, Bo, Tony. Thanks, boys, for joining.
Thank you for having us.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Burning, 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 burning.